little thought of inspiration that came to me this morning when the message was going forth. You that ditched this morning's service, done yourself a disservice. But every time you miss a service, you miss something. Whether you like the style of the preacher or not, if it's the Lord's word and anointed of God, and you shut it out, then you're the loser. This thought has to do with learning and gaining understanding and wisdom. Now, the older one gets, the wiser they get. If you would have asked me that 20 years ago, I would have agreed with you, but I wouldn't have understood exactly what it meant. But now I have a deeper understanding of what being there means. Yes. Having been through it, or having observed it, then I have a better understanding. Yes. Mama and Daddy could tell me till they were blue in the face, and by faith I would take it. Maybe obey it and do it. But as I observed it myself, I received great understanding. Yes. And with that understanding comes wisdom. Yes. Now, I know this to be true because the Word teaches us that when we first get saved, we're on a liquid diet. Yes. We drink milk. Yes. Just like a baby. But as we progress, we grow up to eat meat. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever swallowed a chunk of meat. Yeah. I understand that one of the popular singers a few years back choked to death on a chunk of meat. So when you take meat, you have to do something. Yeah. You have to chew. You may have to chew a little more and a little more until you get it ground up that you can get it down. Well, wisdom teaches us as we go along serving the Lord that there are things that we must chew them up to be able to digest them spiritually. If we try to just take them and swallow them and go on our way, they're going to choke us. Yes. The Father intended for you to chew that. Yes. Because as you chew it, there is flavor. Yes. There is taste. Yes. And sometimes it may be good, and sometimes it may be bitter. He said to the hungry soul, that bitter thing was sweet. Yes. So there may even be some bitterness sometimes in chewing that meat. And then other times it will be a delight. As the brother was talking about Christmas this morning, my mind went back to when I got saved. And I hadn't been saved real long. Of course, when I wasn't saved, my attention was in the things of the world, and my music taste was in the things of the world, and I listened to worldly music, and I fed myself on those things that are in that music, and that's all I had. Well, once in a while, maybe I would hear a gospel song, and it would tickle me a little bit. For the sake of mother, I'd go to church once in a while, and those things, and the Spirit would deal with me. But after I got saved, I had a great hunger and a great thirst for spiritual song, yes. Spiritual music, yes. In the form of music. I remember one time I was working out in the yard and Cliff Smith come by and he had a Monarch tape. And I hadn't heard that kind of music in a long time. And it just fed my soul. Fed my heart. And it was so much that I talked him out of the tape. Now, he had had the tape a long time, and he made tape, so maybe he knew he could replace it. But to me, it was a treasure. It was something I really hungered and thirsted after. Along about Christmas time, I was down in a shopping mall where worldly music plays, where there isn't much godliness. And all of a sudden, over the intercom, there came this little song about Jesus. And my little man began to leap inside. All the busy shoppers, the worldliness that was going on, they didn't have any idea really what Christmas was about. But I heard the song about my Jesus. And him being born, and it began to just tickle my soul, and tears began to come to my eyes. And I began to feed my soul in that song. Now, I didn't mean that to everybody in that room or in that shopping mall. And I liken that as to what Jesus said when he was talking to the lady at the well, I believe, and when he come back, the disciples come back, they wanted him to eat. And Jesus refused the food at first. And his reply to them was, I have meat that you know not of. Now that meat that they didn't know about, he went on to explain, was to do the will of the Father. Now to have a desire to do the will of the Father is what made him hungry for the things that would accomplish the will of the Father. It was in times of trouble, tribulation, being rebuffed, to the point that finally they even took his life. But there was in the heart of Christ a desire to do the will of God, and that was what he wanted to eat. Now sometimes he had to chew and chew and chew because he was flesh like you and like me. But as he chewed that, then he had a satisfaction in his soul. Inasmuch that when they talked about temporal food, these thoughts came to his mind. I know you're concerned about me, but I have something that you don't even know anything about. As I walked through this mall and I heard this song and I knew that there were people there that were in the Christmas spirit, so to speak, but they weren't being fed at all like my soul was being fed. There was a hunger, there was a desire, there was a reaching out for God, and there was a reaching out particularly for Jesus. Now, that's the foundation for this thought. Now, we're going to read a little scripture or two. Try and keep you awake, as Brother Ed says. If you get sleepy, stand up. And I'll try not to be too long. I've been branded at home as being a long-winded preacher, so you pray for me. In the 24th Proverb, we mentioned this verse, I believe it was last night. It said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, an armed man usually is in a pretty perilous place of want that he goes and he takes from others and arms himself for that purpose. One that travaileth or worketh hard. Poverty is sure to find you in that place. A lack of understanding is just as bad as being lazy. It's just as bad as the hobo down under the railroad tracks. Maybe you live in a big house, drive a big car, and have money in the bank. But if you lack understanding, you're no better off than the hobo. As far as the field that you have for people to look upon your life, it's full of weeds. It's all grown over. Or maybe you don't see them, but they see them. They're there. As sure as this scripture is true, in the little portion of the vineyard that God has given you to take care of and present to the world, it's full of weeds because of your lack of understanding. We're taught in the Word, in the 20th chapter of this same book, we want to throw this verse in here, choke you up a little bit. 17th verse said, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Deceit is sweet. This verse means that it's appealing to the flesh. Yes. That there's some satisfaction to the flesh in deceit. Yes. You know, there are people who enjoy being deceived. There are people that like to be deceived. Because it's sweet. There are songs in the world today that talk about the moment of tonight and don't worry about tomorrow. Be deceived right now, it's okay. We're going to sow our wild oats and we'll worry about tomorrow. Deception, it sounds good. It feels good. It tastes good. But it's unwise. It's the opposite of understanding and wisdom. And afterwards, your mouth is going to be full of gravel. Now, I don't think God gave you teeth to chew gravel. And if you've ever had a little bit of gravel, maybe down at the beach sometimes we get a little sand on a hot dog or something. You bite down on that, how terrible it feels. Well, how about a mouthful of gravel? Just a mouthful of rocks and try and chew them up and swallow them. That appears to me then that deceit is a pretty bad thing when it comes to digestion, when it comes to swallowing, when it comes to taking it in. Oh, it's all right for a while in the mouth. It pleases the flesh for a moment. But afterwards, it's gravel. In the fourth proverb, we have the instruction about seeking the opposite of deceit. And that is true wisdom and true understanding. Now, we're not going to take time to read all of this because you're familiar with it and I'm familiar with it. But we want to touch a few verses to go along with this thought of having this hidden food to eat day by day. To having the hidden manna that comes from God. Yes. The hidden manna that satisfies not the outward man, but he satisfies your soul. Right. Satisfies your spirit. Satisfies that real deep longing that you have to be like God. Yes. In the 14th verse of this chapter, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. The world that we know today is in this very category. People wonder what's happening. Good people wonder what's happening. A long time ago, the scripture was written. And this is what's happening. People are eating the bread of wickedness. The deceit tastes good. The flirt, the kiss, the song, the dance. It all tastes good. But it is the bread of wickedness. And that wickedness turns to gravel in sorrow. And they drink the wine of violence. We have such a violent society where violence is almost to the point of worship. If you were to stand up for nonviolence in its pure form, people would call you a nut. They would call you all kinds of names. They would call you out of step without really knowing what life was all about. All the electronic games that are made today with violence in them are made to satisfy something in man that is reaching out, and they feed themselves on that violence. They're drunk on the wine of violence. Just like drunken people. And then they don't understand why things are like they are. But even in this time of drunkards, there are those who follow the path of light. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, this more and more is where I want us to take note of that it is as we serve the Lord, day in and day out, there is more and more to gain. There is a greater wisdom. There is a greater understanding to gain in God. If you understand and you have wisdom, this chapter deals with it. It goes on and tells us that it's better than silver, than gold. It's better than anything else that we could acquire in this world. It's better than anything that we could have in our storehouse is to have wisdom and understanding. That is the greatest thing that you can acquire in your life. Seek after her as silver and as gold. Seek after her with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. For in her there is life. There is understanding. There is wisdom from God that will take you through every trial, every tribulation, every trouble. There is an answer every time in the wisdom of God. In the understanding of God. Those things that maybe we don't comprehend. Those things that we can't really get a hold of. If we have the wisdom and the understanding of God in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, and we grow in that wisdom, we gain it more and more. That light shines brighter and brighter. What is wisdom? It is the light of God. It's the true light. It is Christ that lighteth the world, that lighteth your life, that lighteth my life. Did you know that when you have real understanding and real wisdom, then you can walk around in a world that is dark, or you can walk around in a world that doesn't understand, and you just have kind of an inward satisfaction? I know what's wrong with you. I know why the children are shooting other children in the school. It's no mystery to me. I don't understand how they could pull that trigger. But it's no mystery to me that they've been fed violence all of their life and now they're doing a violent thing. You see, that's no mystery to me. Why? Because I have that light. I know without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I'm a smart man today, that the wages of sin is death. There's no doubt in my mind. You could never convince me any different. You could all stand up and say to me, I wouldn't believe it. I believe the wages of sin is death. And if you don't train a child up in the way he should go, he's going to go his own way and he's going to shoot his classmate. I believe that. Because it's in the Word of the Lord. The greater that we gain understanding and wisdom of God, the more manna you'll have to eat as you go about your daily chores. There's something about getting up and maybe going to work with a room full of sinners and being able to walk around and munch on some sweet thing of God. Look at you like you're crazy, call your names, all those things. God, don't bother me. Hey, I'm eating down here. There's something going on in my heart. There's something going on in my soul. I'm growing. I'm getting more like Jesus. I'm getting more like God. I'm gaining ground. How are you doing that? Because I'm eating the wisdom of Jesus Christ. I'm eating what He has said. That's my bread today. The will of God, as He taught me to pray, not my will. I want this, Lord. I want that. I want that accomplished. No, Lord, have Thine own way. Whatever it might be, God, have Your will. I want Your will today, this day, every day. Yeah. Not just from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, but all day long, the will of God. All accomplished. I know that God has the very best for me. He has the very best for my family. He has the very best for my congregation. He has the very best for my brothers and sisters. Then why shouldn't I want His will accomplished in my life? Give me that bread, dear God. That bread of wisdom. That bread of understanding. All my thoughts might be torn here. My affection might be go over here. My affection might be there. But, oh, Lord, according to it all comes down, I want Thy holy will. That's my meat. That's my reason for living today, is that Your will would be accomplished in my life. Whatever it is, that's what I want done. That's my meat. That's what I'm eating. And you know that when we're eating there, on this hidden manna that is hidden from the world, when things then don't go exactly like we would want them to go, it's easier to handle. It's easier to handle. Why? Because I've been eating this food that has no gravel in it. It might be bitter to chew up. When I have to part with a loved one, when I have to leave a situation or a place and go do the will of the Lord, there are times that it might be a very bitter thing. But I know in my heart that if I do the will of God, then the accomplishment is being accomplished. The groundwork is laid and the fruit is going to come. It's going to grow into that big old tree. And it's going to let the fruit be there for others to come up and pluck and taste of the love of Jesus, the love of God. What's your meat? Are you eating on that hidden manna? Is this really what you want in life? Oh, to grow. In the 8th chapter of this same proverb letter, says, wisdom cry, understanding put forth her voice. But in the 5th verse it says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. All right, you know my confession is that this is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Because I'm simple, yet I can understand. And if I'll make myself a fool in this way, then I'll understand. Have an understanding heart. Amen. Or to have not a mental understanding, but an understanding heart. There's such a difference. When you have an understanding in your heart, sometimes there are things that you'll never understand in the flesh. But His Spirit, with my spirit, gives witness, whereby I am able to cry, Abba, Father, Thy will be done. And there is just a smooth, serene, calm, peaceful, joyful habitation right down here in my heart. Yeah. Well, you understand this? Well, I understand it in my heart. What do you mean? Then tell me. I can't tell you. I don't know the answer up here, but I know it down here. There is an understanding in my heart that passes all the wisdom of men, Jesus said. He said, I gave you this peace. People won't understand it in their minds, but you have an understanding heart. Oh, to have an understanding heart then enables me to go around day by day in my humdrum life and have a smile in my spirit. Amen. Have a smile in my heart. Amen. I'm munching. I'm eating. I'm chewing some meat. Oh, it might be some heavy things sometimes. And heavy things touch our lives. And there may be tears, and you may have to go to your closet and pray. You may have to weep and fast. But there's a munching right down here in my heart. Yes, Lord, I understand that no good thing will you withhold from me as long as I walk uprightly, as long as I keep your commandment, as long as I obey you. I have nothing to fear. And so everything is okay. Everything is good. This is how we gain and understand real, true wisdom. The wisdom of God, that we grow in it. It doesn't come just accidentally, but He said to seek after it. He said to call after it, to pray for it, to look for it. Knock on its door. God, give me a greater understanding of your will. That doesn't mean that I'm praying to know all the details of why. But it's that in my inward man, I might come to that place of surrender before God, and it's just all plain. It's all just simple. It's all just okay. Now, we know there's times that we have to put things in words, and God gives us some wisdom that we're able to put in words for comfort or instruction and teaching in those things. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I don't believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he said he was munching on his hidden manna, on his hidden bread. He said, you don't know about this bread. This is between me and the Father. Yes. To do the Father's will, that's my meat. That's what I'm eating. That's what I'm munching on. In the 8th chapter of this same book, the 5th verse, read that, I went to 18th verse, I'm sorry. Says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Okay, now, have you ever walked around with your pockets empty and been hungry? I remember one time my sister left us down at the beach. This was years ago. And we didn't have any money and we didn't have any lunch. We were just going to play and she was going to come back. Well, for some reason, she got delayed and didn't come back. So we walk around and people were barbecuing their hot dogs and it smelled good. And there was a little stand, I guess, there, a store on the pier. If you had some money, you could have got something. But there was nothing in my pocket. My pockets were empty. It just, that's an awful feeling. And I guess since I've been an adult, maybe I've experienced a few times like that. But that you just don't have enough money in your pocket. Now, there's been other times that walked around with a pocket full of money. And it was just kind of more of a comforting feeling. Yeah. I got a pocket. If I get hungry, I can go over there and buy me a hot dog. If I get thirsty, I can go over there and buy myself something to drink. Yeah. I got some money right here. I feel good about this. I had a little nephew one time. It was kind of a humorous saying, but it gets the point across. He was going somewhere with my brother, his grandfather, is what it was. It was a grandchild, not very big. And he wanted to go somewhere, McDonald's or somewhere, I don't remember. But he flipped his money up and he said, "Look out, here we come, and I got cash." And he just throwed it out there. So in that cash, he felt he had some security as to what he wanted when he got there. Listen, these riches that wisdom will get you, you can walk around in a broke world
with your pocket full of riches.
You can have a confidence.
You can have an assurance.
I've got my pockets full. And just walk right into the battle, walk right into the place of the devil, walk right into the world, and know that I've got some riches in my pocket that I can spend, and Almighty God will take care of it all. Where does that come from? Wisdom. The wisdom of God brings you these things. You don't get a pocket full of spending cash with your own wisdom or your own understanding. We're talking about the things that God is going to give those who seek after true wisdom, after true understanding. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, the rest of this passage of Scripture has a profound effect upon my spirit. I trust the Lord will bless you in that way today. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, and forever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought, I brought forth. While as yet He has not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the depths of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree, that the water should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundation of the earth. Then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Now, can you get a mental picture of this? We talk about the creation of God's creation of the world. And after He would do something, He would say that He saw that it was good. What told Him that it was good? Wisdom. The wisdom of God. The understanding of God. When God made such and such, and He looked at it, and He said, it's good. How did He know it was good? It was in His wisdom, He knew it was good. And that wisdom, oh, to think that the Almighty God of creation would afford you and afford me to get a peek, to get a share, to have a part of the guiding understanding that He had when He created all things. Willing to share that with you. Willing to share it with me. I was daily His delight. Make wisdom, make understanding your daily delight. Make it your daily delight. Lord, give me some more wisdom. Give me some more understanding in the truth. I don't want any deceit. I don't want any gravel. But that true wisdom that comes from You, that You had in the very foundation of the world. You know why You made the world. You know why You made it like it is. You know why You did everything You did to it and the way You put it in motion. You know all those things. I don't know that, Lord. But help me to understand that wisdom that I not be a part of the great deceit that is in the world, the great misconceptions, the great ununderstanding, the deceit of the enemy. Oh, when you have a real understanding, I almost want to say that you can walk around with a smirk on your face. But that's not quite the right word. It's just that you have such a depth of advantage in living your life. There is, you're a rich man. You have great possessions. They're yours. They're legally yours by the design of God. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. See, that's why I don't think it's any great wonder that there are devil worshipers in the young people today. Because in violence, in the wine of violence, in the thing that has been allowed to be portrayed in their generation and in their life, it is a sin against wisdom. And it's not entirely all their fault. The generation before them sinned against wisdom. The generation before them sinned against understanding by rejecting the wisdom of God. And that's why we have the world that we have today. Sin, the rejection of true wisdom, brings a love for death. It brings a love for death. People who have sinned against wisdom take their own life. Dr. Gavorkian goes around the country helping people fulfill the very thing that we read here, the love of death. Why? Because they escape, they think, their trouble, their pain, their misery. Real wisdom, real understanding tells us their troubles just began. It's just beginning. That's real wisdom. That's why we hate death. That's why we love life. That's why we want eternal life. We don't want anything to do with death. In the second chapter of Isaiah, looking at the coming of Christ and the true wisdom that is in Christ, third verse of the second chapter says, many people should go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We will walk in his paths. In the ninth chapter of Isaiah, sixth verse, says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know that every day We are to increase in the kingdom of God. We are to increase in wisdom. The older you're a saint, the older you're a Christian, you should be wiser today than you were yesterday in the things of God. There should be an increase in your wisdom, just like it happens in the natural man. Things that you have experienced, things that have touched your life, things that you have gotten from God, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit have counseled with your inward man. He is the wonderful counselor. What is a counselor for? A counselor is to impart wisdom. A counselor is to counsel you in a way of understanding, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's no stopping it. It is impossible to stop this increase for anyone other than yourself. You're the only one that can stop your inward man from getting wiser. You can hinder yourself from gaining wisdom. You can hinder yourself from gaining understanding. But there isn't anyone else that can. Why? Because it is of God. He said, my word has gone out. It will accomplish what I told it to accomplish. And it won't come back void. It's going to do exactly what I set forth to do in the very foundation of the world. In the very foundation of the world, wisdom was there. And wisdom is going to accomplish an increase in those that will seek her as silver and as gold. And day by day, the Lord will perform this. Not people, not powers of people, but the Lord Himself will increase your wisdom, your understanding. In the 33rd chapter of this book, 21st and 22nd verse, says, but there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King, and He will save us. So then in Christ Jesus is our supply of wisdom and understanding. In Malachi, third chapter, third and fourth verses, says, and He shall set us a refiner and purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and in silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. He shall be a refiner. This bread, this hidden manna that Jesus brought to the earth, He said, I am the bread. Let's just read that in John 6th chapter. Thirty-second verse said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then He said unto him, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In this bread, there is a purifying, there is a cleansing, there is a change. And as we eat that bread, you are what you eat. If you're eating deceitful things, then that's what you'll be. But if you eat this true bread, who can abide its coming? The place that he can swallow it. He that is hungry and he that is thirsty for the things of God. If he's entertained by the things of the world and he's feeding himself upon the things of the world, then he's not going to have this true hunger and this true thirst for the things of God. Then he's not going to be in the church house on Sunday morning and Sunday night. He's going to be somewhere else. But if he really has a hunger and a thirst, and he has his mind in a wise way, in an understanding way, that I need not just one, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God for myself in my experience, then he'll be here getting it. And as he comes to apply himself, there will be a purging of those things that will bring forth such a beautiful picture of pure gold and pure silver. A life that shines, a life that has no dross in it, a life that portrays the life of Christ. How do I have the life of Christ? How do I be the city that's set on a hill? How do I let my little light shine? By eating the true bread which came down out of heaven, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. His will and His way. That's my bread. That's my meat. That's my manna. And you know and I know that we have partaken of that, and it satisfies that little man deep inside. But how many times the devil will get our attention over here and over there, and we'll neglect that little man until he gets all withered up. And if we don't watch him, he'll die and be gone. But we need to feed him daily upon that bread, that he'll get wiser, he'll get smarter, he'll get stronger, he'll be able to do bigger and better and greater things until he just shines. In this world, the wisdom of God comes through the bread of Christ.
Yes, it does.
Now, I like how Jesus finished this up. In the 4th chapter of John, we mentioned this, that Jesus was talking and his disciples come back. 30th verse says, "Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus, knowing that, this was his answer. He said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not, ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and already to harvest." So as He answered them that he had meat that they knew not of, and that meat was to do the will of the Father, he immediately challenged them to the truth that there is a harvest that cannot wait. So true wisdom then that cometh down from above, true wisdom then that we need to eat daily in our bread, is to remember that there is a harvest that cannot wait. There is a harvest that needs to be taken care of today. This is the meat that Jesus ate. This is the will of the Father. This is the will of the Father in your life and in my life, that our daily bread consists of this meat, that we know there is a harvest, and it is time to be working in that harvest wherever God would have us to do, however He would place us in that field. The most important thing for me to do and the most important thing for me to accomplish is the harvest of the Lord. This is real wisdom.
This is real understanding. When you get a real understanding that my obligation, my duty, my compelling call from heaven is to work in that vineyard and to work in that harvest. Brother and sister, you'll be on your knees. You'll be drawing close to the Lord. You'll be laying aside every weight that will hinder. You'll be doing everything you can within your power to get more of this bread, that it might fill your very vessel with the holy presence of God, and He might give you direction. If you'll acknowledge me, I'll guide you, I'll direct you, I'll show you what to do and how to do it. There's a light that is shining down from heaven, and there's no darkness in this light. This light is clear for your feet. It makes a path that you can walk in that is sure and certain, that you can go around with a smile in your heart, a smile in your soul. I'm doing the will of God. You might not like what I'm doing. Some people might change me. Some people might not understand me, but I know that I'm doing the will of God today. I'm working in His vineyard. I'm laboring for God. I'm doing those things that I feel He wants me to do.
Praise the Lord.
There is meat. The meat of wisdom. The meat of understanding. There isn't any time to lose. Oh, redeeming the time for the days are evil. A simple verse. There isn't any time. Jesus said, look, man, I'm eating the bread that come down from heaven. This manna that you know nothing about. And that manna is to do the will of God. And the will of God is that I set the stage for this harvest. And you're the ones to gather in. You're the ones to work in the harvest. Other men laid this and done that. And other people have done this and other. But it's your job now. Go out and gather them in. Gather them in. Oh, give me more of this meat. Give me more of this understanding. Give me more of this wisdom. In closing, the second chapter of Revelation, in dealing with one of the churches, or one of the situations that people get into in their lives, are you wiser today than you were yesterday? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth it. I love this personal relationship with God. I love the hidden manna. I confess before you all this morning that I haven't eaten as much of this manna as I could have. But I also confess to you that it is my heart's desire to find more and to learn more how to eat this daily manna that is hidden from the world. It might be hidden from everybody around you, but it has that satisfaction of the soul that there is a name. There is a communication, His Spirit witnessing within to my spirit that I'm on the right track. I'm going the right way. I'm doing the right thing. And as I have that confidence with God, as I have that assurance with God, and as I eat that manna, then I have an assurance that all is well. Then I have that assurance that if Jesus calls me today, I'm ready to go. We sang those songs about heaven, and something just rang in my heart. You know, the day, the hour, the moment Jesus speaks my name, I don't want to prolong it a minute. Sometimes we think in fleshly terms, don't we?
Yeah.
Hezekiah did. But actually ended up getting him in trouble down through the years. But God has a moment.
Yeah.
God has it planned.
Yes, it does.
And real wisdom, real understanding would not challenge that knowledge of God.
Amen.
We would just say, yes, Lord.
Lord.
Yes, God. That's it. That moment when I am reconciled to you without the flesh, I want it to be just what you have designed.
Yes.
Just what you have in mind, God. I came, Jesus said, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father. That's what I'm eating today. That's what you want to eat. That's what I want to eat. We came,
We're here, and our purpose is to do the will of God. And as we accomplish that will, when He sees that He is in His wisdom ready to take us to heaven, I want to go now. I don't want to stay any longer. I love you. I love my wife. I love my children. And in the flesh, I want to make sure I can do all those things for them. But I want to tell you something else. I love God. I love God. And I'm looking forward to that time when the flesh is no longer a hindrance. When that I feel within my bosom will be set free to go and be with Him eternally. At His time, at His moment. And there's things that I would like to do. I would like to see the whole world be saved. And like to do the work that I can do. And I endeavor to do that. But when that moment comes, true wisdom from above tells me I don't want to stretch it out. I don't want to change it. I want to leave it with God. Because I know that when He built this world, or spoke it into existence, however He did it, I don't care. But I know when He did it that wisdom was right there with Him. And wisdom helped guide and inform and shape what He did. And that wisdom will carry me through. That wisdom will be the guideline for my death and my departure. I have confidence in that. I have confidence in the wisdom of God. I just pray that you would pray for me that I learn day by day how to grow in wisdom and understanding. Let that be the bread of my life. Let me eat it every day, Lord. Let me be smarter tomorrow than I am today. Now, in the flesh, that wouldn't take very much, and I'll probably decline because I'm getting older. But in the spirit, I know that I can wax stronger and stronger until that day. Trust the Lord, bless this thought to your heart. Pray for us that we'll have a safe trip home. Enjoyed being in the camp meeting. And I will make this confession to you today, that I told my wife, next year we're going to have to make a better effort just to be in camp meeting. Not just be hauling cars back and forth, but be in camp meeting. So I'll ask you to forgive me and trust me. I'll try and do a better job.